like to give a drabbing asakayah to have a green glass for coming. It's not an easy trip these days anywhere you go. Not so simple anymore. It's Gersiyat to the Shmaya and not easy effort to come travel. And we greatly appreciate the opportunity to be able to give us the way how to use these days in the right oifen. The topic is Kabbalah Samach Shemayim Krishna. I was thinking as I saw the topic, why is it called Kabbalah Samach Shemayim? And as today we know how everything that seems sometimes simple is not so simple anymore. What is considered right is not so simple. That is by others considered correct, and what is nice and what is not nice, and all different types of areas. I won't get into it now, but there's a lot of distortion going on. Memeila, Kabbalah Sol Malcha Shemayim is coming to teach us that what in Shemayim is right, is nice, is good, that is what you have to be makabel. On this world, what seems sometimes simple also is today not so anymore. Therefore, it is called Kabbalah Sol Malcha Shemayim. If we want to be able to focus and know and realize what the right thing is, we have to ask what in Shemayim is the right thing. The Davis Mishloche has been kind as all these years to be the sponsor behind the legal holiday, Shirim, the Banshim should give them Gesund, Panusa, Nachas, and Yotzeshem. We'd like to ask Rabbi Yehuda to give us a Gevaldi Geshir as he does always, as we have heard many times in this Shirim, and we'd like to say a Gersi Yashikarech.
Thank you, Rabbi Einstein, for the beautiful introduction. And it's wonderful to be here at your shul. And I think it's the third time I'm here, so Rabbi Muscat invited me back. So thank you to Rabbi Muscat for having me. And again to Rabbi Einstein, Meshuska, and Meshuska, Kolakolakolash Hazeh. And also thanking the Davis family, a family that goes back many, many years. With my family back from the days in Memphis, Mrs. Davis, and they should have your full shleim and schluss and nachas and the children. The topic Kabbalah Sol Malcha Shemayim is the topic that we will address, and then hopefully segue into the mitzvah of Talmud Torah and how that has to do with Kabbalah Sol Malcha Shemayim. I'd like to begin with the Gemara. It's the Mishnah in Brachas on Daf Yud Gimel. Amar Bishav and Parcha, Bishav and Parcha says, Lama Kadma Parsha Shema Levahayim Shemaya. Why is Parsha Shema, the Parsha of Ahavta, why is that Parsha before Vahayim Shemaya? And Tosis explains that the Gemara's question, Rabbi Bishav and Parcha is coming to explain why we recite the Parsha of Ahavta before we recite the Parsha of Vahayim Shemaya. And the answer is Kadei Sheikavu Olav Ol Malchus Shemayim Tchila, because by saying the Parsha of Shema, that is a Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. We'll see in a minute how exactly to define that. But Harkach, and afterwards in the second Parsha of Vahayim Shemayim, Makabal Olav Ol Mitzvahs or Makabal Ol Mitzvahs. And that is the reason for the Seder. It says this on the Fidalit on the base, asks the question in time attentively, Dekanim B'Torah. Why is Yerushua ben Korcha bothered by the fact, or why does he feel it's important to give an explanation as to why Vahavta comes before Vahayim Shemaya? It's written that way in the Torah. The Vahavta is in Parshas Mespan, and Vahayim Shemaya is in Parshas Ekev. So that should inform us that first we say Vahavta, then Vahayim Shemaya. Tosis answers the Vayesh David Alchikamar Lama Kud Ma'achal Parshas Tzitzis the Kadmalakulam. Well, we find that the fact that it's the sequence is such in the Torah, it does not inform us as to what needs to be said first, because the third parsha is the parsha of Tzitzis, and that is found in parsha Shlach, which is before Eschanan and Eger. So therefore, says Taisus, Elavadi ein anu choshishim lezeh. We're not choshish to go and read the parsha Shema the way it sequentially appears in the Torah. And he says, and the reason is in the aim book to the book of the Torah, there's no Seder in the Torah. And therefore, there is a reason why we really should have said Vahoya before Vahafta. In spite of the fact that it's written in the Torah after Vahafta, Shimon Neferis Belashim Rabin, because it is written Belashim Rabin. And Shemaya Tishmahu, which is Lashim Rabin, as opposed to Vahafta, that is Lashim Yochid. It's a very interesting marsha. And it requires explanation, at least for me it requires an explanation. Maybe you have a nice shot. He says as follows. He says, even though Vahafta comes before Vahayim Shemaya, he says, Venir Leforish, he says, the reason why Rabbi Shuv Ben Karfa is compelled to tell us why we recite Vahafta first before Vahayim Shemaya, is he says something else. Because when you recite the bracha of Ava Rabba, so the Ava Rabba together with the Parsha Shema is ke'ein tefila. It's like a tefila. So therefore, having lit a hot in Parsha Shema, Shemaya shenamar b'loshen Rabin, the Parsha Shema shall never rhyme b'loshen Yalkut. So if you're talking about a tefila now, so the tefila that is expressed together with the bracha of Abba Rabba and Bahayim Shemaya, that should come first. Why? The Bakash is Rachman Balashim Rabbin Madifa, because when we're Vakish Rachman from Hashem and we do it Balashim Rabbin, in the name of many, in the name of the Tzibur, it's Adif, it's better. So therefore, Bahayim Shemaya should come first. So Marsha is saying something very interesting. We view Kriya Shema as a tefillah, not just as a statement. It's Bakashas Rachamim, because it's following Ava Rabba, and we ask the Ribbono Shel the same Libeinu Lahavanu Lahaskil, and therefore Va'ahavta and Va'hoya are taken as a continuation of that tefillah. As such, whenever there's a tefillah Bakashas Rachamim, it's always better to daven B'Lashon Rabbim, and therefore Va'hoya and Shemaya should have come first. And therefore, that's where Rabbi Shuv Ben Karfa says, no, in spite of that, Vahafta is first because it is a Kabbalah's Olam HaShemayim, which comes before Kabbalah's Olam Mitzvahs. I find this very interesting, this Marsha, that he couches the Vahafta and Vahayim Shemaya as a tefillah, as a Bakashas Vahana. I'm not going to speak more about that, but it's just something that might whet your appetite. It's interesting that in the Yerushalmi it says that Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, that first segment of the Pasuk, that is connected Anochi Hashem Elokecha v'Aseres Adibus, the first of the Aseres Adibus. Hashem Echad, that is connected Lo Yilocha L'Himachim Alpanei. So when you say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, you're Mekabel Olam HaShemayim, in that you're accepting the Anochi, and you are rejecting Avodah Zarah by saying Hashem Echad. And Pashtus, we might have thought that is the extent of Kabbalah's Olam HaShemayim in saying Shema, and it's done with the pasuk of it's finished with the pasuk of Shema Yisrael. However, we find Rabbeinu Yonah in the Shari Tshuva, Shar Gimel Osfav Beis, he says as follows. He's counting on the mitzvah saseh. He says, tefillin and mezuzah are mitzvah saseh. Ve'hein bechlal kabbalas ol malchus shemayim. And the mitzvah of tefillin and mezuzah are included in kabbalas ol malchus shemayim. He says that we find this in the Torah, in the parsha of Vahafta. We have So it's very interesting. So according to Rabbeinu Yonah, we're not finished with the Kabbalah Zomal Shemayim simply by reciting the Pasuk of Shema Yisrael, but the entire paragraph to the end, when it talks about tefillah and mezuzah, also is masker kabbalas ol malchus shamayim.
Now, if you think about the Rabbeinu Yonah, there's other things that appear in the parsha of Ahavta. And indeed, Rav Huna Zatzal in the Sefer Pachad Yitzchak, one of his ma'amarim in Shavuos, in the Sefer of Shavuos, he understands Rabbeinu Yonah, and he doesn't spend too much time, he just accepts it as a Devar Pasha. He never entertained this differently, that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah also is a chiluk of a kabbalas ol malchus shamayim. Says that Vishinantu Lavanecha Vidivar Tavam, so that is a mitzvah Talmud Torah, and then it says the Shartim Lashayyada Vayulatat Tefushbin Nechav Shaf Tavam Tzeshbi Shafam Shirepa. So Rav Huna is saying from Rabbeinu Yonah, you see that if he includes Tefillah and Mezuzah as Kabbalas Hamalchus Shemayim, so it must be that everything in that paragraph is also Kabbalas Hamalchus Shemayim, and therefore Vishinantu Lavanecha is Kabbalas Hamalchus Shemayim as well. That's what Rav Huna sees from this Rabbeinu Yonah. Again, left to our own understanding, we might have thought that Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim is complete after we say the first pasuk of Shema Yisrael. But from Rabbeinu Yonah, we see that it includes tefillin and mezuzah, and Rav Huna adds on, it must also include the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. However, the Rabbeinu Yonah himself, in the Sefer Brachos, it's in the Daf Harif. This is a problem in today's world, because when you learn from your old shas, you know where everything is, and then you come to a Beis Medrash and you have different Tzuras Hadas, so it's hard to find, and it would be important for me to be able to read this through. Do we have an old fashioned shas here?
We have a state in the...
Hello. We have the state-of-the-art coffee machine.
It says on the
I'm
top.
I'm looking for an old-fashioned...
It says on the top.
Oh, it says... Oh, thank you. Okay, so let's see.
Okay. I'm not going to be able to find it, actually. Be that as it may. That's okay. I see it's Machivas, but... I'll try the best that I can. The Gemara says, "Call them spalable tefillin." If a person davens shmanes without putting on tefillin, keilu maybe korban below nesachim. It's as if he brought a korban without the nesachim, without the libations. It says there because it's not complete. Just like a korban is not complete without. Thank you. Oh, thank you. And it's, if you bring a carbon without the suffering, it's an incomplete carbon. So if you say, if you daven without tefillin, so one Gemara says it's be made a sheker. Reb Chaim Rabbi says ki yudikir v'tayya below mincha v'zevach below the suffering, because it's an incomplete davening without your tefillin. Then it says the rights of the kabbalah malchus shemayim shleima that you should wear tefillin. So the Rabbeinu Yonah says here, what does tefillin have to do with Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim? He says, when you wear tefillin on your head, Adam Meshabed Lavoris Baruch HaNeshama Shiva Moach, that you're Meshabed, you subjugate to Hashem, your Moach, your brain, which is your Neshama. And that is symbolic of the Rosh. The Rosh is symbolic of the Neshama, and that's what you accomplish with tefillin Shel Rosh. The tefillin Shel Zroah, when you put on tefillin on your arm, other Meshabit Gufo, you're Meshabit your body, because the hand, the arm, is a hand that does, that's active, and that's symbolic of your goof. And therefore, the Hashem commanded us to put tefillin connected to lave, because the lave is connected to Ikar HaTaivis B'Machshavas, so when you wear the tefillin connected to lave, it corresponds to the Ikar place of the title, which is the heart. Remember the Rebbeinu Shalom when you wear tefillin, and that you will lessen, you will diminish your hanos in this world, and you will shabbat yourself to Hashem. Mezuzah, what do you accomplish by mezuzah? Meshabbat other than my night, it says, Bechoma Odecho. You should love Hashem with all of your resources. Your house represents your resources. And therefore, By putting that mitzvah on your door, you've been mishabed your resources to Hashem. So by putting on tefillin and by having a mezuzah, says Rabbeinu Yonah, it goes into very vivid detail as to what this has to do with Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim and how you mishabed yourself. What's conspicuously missing in this Rabbeinu Yonah, though, is Talmud Torah. In other words, the Rabbeinu Yonah does not tell us that Talmud Torah is a chelik of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. Well, it might not be such a kasha. In other words, when I saw that Rabbeinu Yonah, I said to myself, well, it's consistent with what he writes in Shari Tshuva. There he only talks about tefillah and mezuzah as being a key of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. He does mention Talmud Torah in Shari Tshuva, and here in the Gemara as well. It could be because the Gemara wasn't talking about Talmud Torah. But be that as it may, we don't have any remnants in Rabbeinu Yonah that Talmud Torah is a key of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. But again, like I said, Rav Futner does assume from the Rabbeinu Yonah that it is. Now, there's the Rambam in Hilchos Kriyat Shema. Seems to be postulating this Mishnah of why we say the Parsha of Ahavta, then V'hayim Shema. So the Rambam was in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Kriyat Shema, Halacha Aleph, that we read Kriyat Shema twice a day, and then in Halacha Beis he says, Umahu Kari, what do you read? Shalosh Parshas, you read three Parshas, Aleph, if Shema, V'hayim Shema, V'yemer, Umakdimim Likros Parshas Shema, and we're mocked in Shema. Why? What would you expect the Rambam to say? What Rabbi Shimon Baruch tells us, because it's Bekavu Ol Malchus Shemayim. Mipnei Sheyesh Ba Tzivu Al Yichud Hashem, because there's a Tzivu Al Yichud Hashem, which is consistent with Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. Then the Rambam adds something. Va'ahavasai, and the love of Hashem, that's Va'ahavta. V'talmudai, and the learning of Torah, that's V'shinachim L'vanecha. And afterwards you say V'hayim Shemayim. Love to our own understanding. We might understand, and you wouldn't be wrong if you did, understand that the Rambam understands that the first Parsha of Ahavta, the entire Parsha has to do with Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. So Rabbi Shimon Garfa says we say V'hafta for Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, which the Rambam refers to as Yichud Hashem. And then he says, Ava and Talmud Torah. Well, this makes sense, because Ava Seshem is in that paragraph, and Talmud Torah is in that paragraph. And it could be the Rambam is broadening out his understanding of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. Again, when Yeshua said that we read the first parsha of Ahavta, first we should be Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim, but Yeshua ben Korach in the Mishnah didn't, he did not exactly delineate what Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim is. He just said it's Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. And again, left to our own understanding, we think maybe it's the pasuk of Shema, like Yerushalmi says, the Shema keneged Amalekia and Hashem Melechad keneged Moyia. But then the Rambam says it's Avos Hashem and Talmud Torah. It seems that the Rambam is telling us that Avos Hashem and Talmud Torah also, with that, you're Makayim, a chelik of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. That's how I would understand the Rambam. But I'm not so sure. Because in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam in Perek Beis HaMitzvah HaShnia HaTzivoy SheTzivonu BeEmunas HaYichud, the mitzvah to believe in the oneness of Hashem, Shenam and Kipoch Matzias V'Sivasa Rishonei Echad. In other words, that the cause of everything, the entire Bria, is the Ribbono Shel Olam. V'Hu She'Amru Yisal Hashmaya Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, as indicated in that pasuk. And then I'll skip to the end. The Rambam then says, V'Yikaru Gam Kein Zayis HaMitzvah Malchus. And this is also called Malchus Ki Hein Yom, because they said, K'dei L'Kabul Ol Malchus Shemayim. He quotes the Gemara in Brachas that the mitzvah of Tzivui, of Amunas HaYichud, to believe in the oneness of Hashem,
That's also referred to, he says, as Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shamayim. Very good. Now, if we turn to the next mitzvah of Avos Hashem, the Rambam goes into detail of what Avos Hashem is, to love Hashem, and to be the cause of other people to love Hashem. And nowhere in this mitzvah shlishi does the Rambam mention that Avos Hashem is called or referred to as Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim. He was very careful. In the mitzvah of Yichud Hashem, the Rambam does tell us that this is referred to in the Gemara as Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim. He doesn't say this by Avos Hashem. And in mitzvah Yud Aleph, when he talks about the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, to learn it, and so on and so forth. And the Rambam does not mention that with Talmud Torah, Mekabel Ol Malchus Shamayim. So it seems from the Sefer HaMitzvos that the Rambam limits Kabbalah Ol Malchus Shamayim to the Kabbalah on yourself of Yichud Hashem, of the oneness of Hashem, that Hashem created the Metzius of the world. Now, following with the Rambam and the Yad Chazaka, the Rambam says the reason why we read the first parsha is because it has Yichud Hashem and it has Ava v'Talmudai. So I wanted to suggest that the Rambam includes Ava and Talmudai in Kabbalah Salmah Hushamayim. I'm not so sure that that's the case, because in the Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam only refers to Yichud Hashem as Kabbalah Salmah Hushamayim. But he doesn't refer to Avos Hashem or Talmud Torah to that. So, truth be told, we can consider, we can think about what the Rambam means here in the Yad HaZaka, that the reason why we recite the first parsha is because of not only Tzivri Yichud Hashem and Ava and Talmudai. So, if we are going to follow the Sefer HaMitzvos, and we're going to come out with the understanding that Avos Hashem and Talmud Torah is not a chiddush of Kabbalah Ol Malchus Shamayim, then we'll have to say what the Rambam is telling us in Yad HaZaka is that we recite the first pasuk of Kriyat Shema first of all, like what Rishu and Karfa says in the Mishnah, to be Kabbalah Ol Malchus Shamayim. Additionally, this goes outside of Rishu and Karfa, also because of Avos Hashem and Talmud Torah. But then the question is, why would the Rambam want to add to what Rishu and Karfa says if that's not added in the Gemara? I leave that as an open question as well. So far, if you're taking notes for homework, you have two things. You can consider the Marsha that we said earlier, and you can consider what it is that the Rambam means when he says that it's Avosai Talmudai. Again, I mentioned that Rav Futner did understand, based on the Ben Yonah, that Vishinantam Vanacha would be a key of Kabbalah Ol Malchus Shamayim. But I'll tell you more than that. There's an interesting tour, it's in the Kuthbeis. This is a Gemara in Brachos, in the fourth parak, that we learned from Chana and Eli, and Niha Misha and Yisevis Imcha Bezeh, Mikan she'osher leishya b'shoch arba amish al tefila bein mulafana bein menat studded sarv kaharfik arba amish shenemar and he said this imkosh v'yoshu ayu kemoish. In other words, it says that when Chana was davening, so from the pasuk we see that Eli was standing as well, and from here we learn out that a person is not allowed to sit within davening amish, either in front of or even in the side of a person who's davening. For standing shmona esrei, so you can expect that no one's going to be sitting within your Dalet Amos. That's the first remez in the Gemara that I know of social distancing. There it's Dalet Amos. I think what the social distancing was, what, 6 feet? I don't know. According to one shita, Dalet Amos is 6 feet. Okay. So you could be accident with that shita. Anyway, now, Tosfos there in Brachos brings, and also this is cited in the Torah from the Gaonim. Listen to the Gaonim. He says as follows. You're only not allowed to sit around a person who's davening Shmoneh Esrei if you're sitting and doing nothing. You're checking your cell phone. But if you're davening, you're Isaac and davening, you're in the middle of Kriya Shema and Brachos, Shachar Demi. So you're allowed to say, you're allowed to daven Krishma and Brachas HaKrishma even if you're within the vicinity of Dalet Amos if a person is standing Shemana Esrei. So this is that was the Gaonim that Tosfos brings. Umash Midibrayim says the Torah, Mash from the Gaonim, Shem Isaac the Torah also, that you're not allowed to learn Torah within Dalet Amos of a person who's davening. Shalom Hiskir El Krishma Brachasa. The Gaonim say that you're allowed to daven Krishma and Brachas Krishma within Dalet Amos of a Mispalim. Says the Torah, the Ram, the Gaonim is only saying that you're allowed to daven within his Dalet Amos. You have to say Krishma, but it doesn't say you're allowed to learn Torah. But how can you stop it? It makes sense that way, because even though the Torah is more chomer than Tefillah, because if a person is terusel nusel, a person who makes his, he devotes his life to learning, he's not master for Tefillah, he's master for learning, but because Tefillah is, I mean, not master for learning, in fact, he certainly has nothing master for Tefillah, so Tefillah is greater than learning. But over here, the reason why you're not allowed to sit with the Dalam Amas is with Nation here, because it seems that your friend is davening Shemana Esrei. Your friend is davening in his Makabal Omalchus Shemayim. Vehu ain't a Makabal, and you're not Makabal Omalchus Shemayim. You're sitting within his Dalet Amos. When you're sitting and davening Shemana Esrei, I'm sorry, Kriyishma, I'm in Brachas, also by High Time. So if I'm davening Shemana Esrei, I'll be Makabal Omalchus Shemayim, my Tefillah. And you're right next to me, davening Kriya Shema, you're also being Makabal Omachu Shemayim. But if you're sitting learning Torah, that's not considered Kabbalah Omachu Shemayim. And therefore, says the Torah, that's how I understand the Gaonim, that the only thing that you're allowed to do is daven next to the Mispalel, but not learn next to the Mispalel. Comes the Beis Yosef, Uman Shetar Rabbeinu, this that the Torah says, Didn't my secret Torah also lay Shabbat in the Mispalel? That if you're learning Torah, you're not allowed to sit next to the respondent, because it looks like he's being makabal omalchus shemayim, and you're just disregarding that. Yesh litfais. The only thing you're not allowed to do next to the respondent is to sit and do nothing. If you're sitting and you're learning, you're daf yomi. That's like a mekabel ol malchus shemayim. Says the Beis Yosef that I take exception to the tour. The tour says kabelos ol malchus shemayim is only mekuyim where you say kriyishma b'rafaseha, but not talmud Torah. Says the Beis Yosef, no, that when you're sitting and learning Gemara, you're learning Torah. So that itself is considered a kiyum of kabelos ol malchus shemayim. So this Beis Yosef would fit well with what we raised earlier, that the Vishnantan Vanatha that's in the first parsha of Kriya Shema would indeed create a kiyum of Kabbalas Omachu Shemayim. Now, I want to move on to another aspect of this, and then we'll get it more into Talmud Torah. If I could just have a regular chumash. I'm sorry, I didn't do a chumash. I just need to. Thank you. This is very interesting because it's a Rashi Chumash. But as always, we don't always pay attention closely to the words of Rashi. Vishinantam Vanetha, you should teach Torah to your children. Says Rashi as follows. Levanecha, to your sons, Elu HaTalmidim. This does not refer to your sons. Vishinantam Levanecha refers to your Talmidim. The Rebbe has a mitzvah to teach Talmidim. Where do we learn that you're required to teach your children? That's in the next parasha, V'hayim Shemaya. That's the Talmud Torah Labanim. Rashi says something else. Metzinu, we find, B'chomokam Shatalmidim Kriyim Banim. We find always that Talmidim are referred to as Banim. Shenemar, as it says, where do we find that your students are considered your children, what would you think? If you don't know Rashi, then you had a guess. What pasuk would teach us that your talmidim are considered your banim? Says Rashi, it's a pasuk in Rene. Banim atem Hashem alekechem. You are children of the Ribbono Shel Olam. In other words, this is what Rashi is saying. It's a sifri. It's actually a sifri. Banim atem Hashem alekechem. You are children of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Again, we might have always thought we're God's children. We're all God's children. The Gemara says we have three parents, mother, father, and the Ribbono Shel Olam. From this sifri, quoted by Rashi, you see that we are considered banim of the Ribbono Shel Olam by virtue of the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam teaches us Torah. Fascinating. And then Rashi brings another two psukim from the sifri, V'ayimra says, Malachim b'nei ha-Neviim asher beisel, the sons of the Neviim. They weren't really the sons of the Neviim, they were the students of the Neviim. B'chein b'chizkiyo, shalima Torah l'chayisal, b'chizka melta Torah to all of Chayisal, u'korim banim, and b'chizkiyo, ha-melech referred to Chayisal as his children, shenemar, b'ni ata al-tishlu. So you see clearly that your talmidim are called your children. It was a shame your talmidim koyim banim, and the same way that your talmidim are called your children, kath harav kori up. So the Rebbe is called the father. Shenemar, it says avi avi rachav Yisrael by Elisha and Eliyahu. You see a very interesting thing from Rashi that we are called banim atem Hashem alekechem by virtue of the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam teaches us Torah. And there's another two psukim. I'll give you a third thing to think about. Rashi then says, not only are we considered the children of our Rebbe, but the Rebbe is called our father. As it says, Avi, Avi, Rech Yisrael. Let me just ask you a question. If we had a pasuk that tells us that if I teach you Torah, you're my ben, isn't that obvious that I'm your av? Can you have someone be your ben and you're not their av? So why do you need another pasuk of Avi, Avi, Rech Yisrael, Barashah? I have some thoughts about it, but I'm going to leave that for the third. It's a long day, July 4th. I mean, you can only barbecue so much. I mean, there has to be some other thoughts that you're going to have to do right there. So, three items of homework so far. Why would it be necessary? I'll tell you something very interesting. There's another tour in... the tour is in Kuf Yudalit. He goes through... A fifth tesvav. He goes to the brachas of Shemana Esrei, and he says as follows: why do we say Avinu, Hashivenu Avinu l'sarasecha? Why invoke the term Avinu when we talk to Hashem, Hashivenu Avinu l'sarasecha, v'karvenu malkeinu l'sarasecha? And by slach lanu, also slach lanu Avinu. So let me tell you how the Torah answers this question by Hashivenu Avinu. A father is obligated to teach his son Torah. Al kein, therefore, on the honor we say, Hashiveinu Avinu l'sarasecha. It's a tour in Siman Kuf Tezvav. It comes out from this tour that Hashiveinu Avinu l'sarasecha, the Avinu relates to the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam teaches his Torah. Just like a father teaches his son Torah, the Ribbono Shel Olam teaches us Torah. So when you want to talk about Torah in that bracha, Hashiveinu Avinu l'sarasecha, it's Avinu. It's a very interesting thing. So the Ribbono Shel Olam teaches us Torah. The Vilna Gaon, the Gra, in that Sifri that Rashi quotes, the Gra brings the second two psukim that teach us that if you learn Torah, you're called a ben. But the Vilna Gaon is not Goris, Banim Atem Hashem Elokeichem. He's not Goris then. In other words, according to the Vilna Gaon, Banim Atem Hashem Elokeichem is not the proof that when you teach someone Torah, they're your ben. We are children of the Ribbono Shel Olam not by virtue of the fact that Hashem teaches us Torah, according to the Vilna Gaon, because he takes out that Gersa. I find it interesting that if you look at the Gra Siddur, Hashiveinu Avinu l'sarasecha, the Gra says that our Father who loves us, the Father has the treasures and he can open up the treasure chest for his sons, for his children. So we say, Tata, Avinu, Hashiveinu Avinu l'sarasecha, open up the treasures of the Torah to your children. That's why we mention Avinu, because a father, only a father would want to do the best for his children. But you see that the Vilna Gaon is not learning like the Torah, and it could be that the Vilna Gaon is consistent. Because according to the Torah, the Rebbeinu Shlom teaches us Torah. So that's why we say Ashivina Vilasar Sacha, and that would be Habaramatam Hashem Lokechem. But the Vilna God, who's my God, is Habaramatam Hashem Lokechem. In that scenario, it could be that they would be consistent why he doesn't learn that the Rebbeinu Shlom is our teacher of Torah, and that's not what the Kavanah of that prophet is. Be that as it may, but there's an interesting Bach in Siddur Reish Tzadi Dalet Hilchos Shabbos. He talks about Havdalah, Tochen Antonim. And he quotes extensively from the Levush what the proper girsa is in Atochen Antonu in the Bracha of Atochoni. He says as follows: Va'oid deharat pasuk b'sod tzvav yisuf. He's citing the Levush Atochonein that we say every day in Shemana Esrei. Hu benini. Benini means it's in the present tense. Atochonein in the present tense. Hashem gives us graciously every day seichel, bina, v'das, v'muskel, harishon, v'anigne, v'chol, hashem, v'chochmas. He says the Rebbeinu Shlom gives us the chochmah that we need every day in terms of understanding life, the chochmah of the world and science, everything that we need to know to understand life and to be able to succeed in life. The Rebbeinu Shlom constantly gives us the information that we need, and he gives us this seichel. Aval atochen antanu, that's the havdalah part. Hu lashon ovar, it's in the past. Atochen antanu, al shekvar hishpia olena seichel hagadol hazeh, that Hashem already gave us seichel. The matan Torah, when he gave us the Torah. So therefore, he presently gives us. The Rebbeinu Shlom constantly endows us with seichel that we need to understand life in the present. But in the past, when the Rebbeinu Shlom gave us Torah, that's lashon avar. Mavur mitvar says the Bach, you see from the Lush, shesomer he holds she'ein afu lashon beinini atochani lo'em das, that the present term atochone does not apply to Torah. It only applies to secular knowledge. V'halasa, says the Bach, it's not true. Sha'arim Birchas HaTorah, Sha'aru Mevorfim B'chol Yom. What do we say every day in Birchas HaTorah? Baruch Atah Hashem, Hamalami Torah L'Amo Yisrael. In the present tense. Baruch Atah Hashem, Nosein HaTorah. In the present tense. The B'chol Eis, the B'chol Shah, Malami Nesana, Deya Uvida V'haska, V'chachmas HaTorah, V'ashkina Yishem Tzkinega. Hashem is teaching us Torah, the Shekhinah is sitting when you open your Gemaras every day and you're learning whatever it is that you learn. You learn a quota, you learn your daf, an omen, whatever, just a seichel, whatever it is, as you're learning Torah, the Shekhinah is sitting in front of you. You have a Rebbe. Even if you're sitting at a table by yourself, you don't know it, but there is a Rebbe there. And that Rebbe is the Rebbeinu Shalom. You wouldn't be able to break your head on a piece of Gemara if you didn't have a Rebbe informing you. That Rebbe is the Rebbeinu Shalom. That's what the Bach says. That's how Malamit Torah L'Amo Yisrael. So he takes exception to what the Bach says in terms of Tochen Antanu and Antochonim. He says it's not true. It's not just in the past, it's in the present. So now we have this concept of Banamatan Hashem Elokeichem, the Rebbeinu Shlom is our Rebbe, he continues to be our Rebbe, he's Malamed Torah. So therefore, let's talk about the role of a Rebbe. As I mentioned earlier, the mitzvah for a Rebbe to teach a Talmud is Vishinatan Levanecha, and the role of teaching, a father teaching his son, is only learned from the Pasuk of Vahayim Shemar from the Manatan Hashem Espanecha. The Pnei Yeshua and Daf Lamed, or Daf of Tes, in Kedushin asks the question on the Chavtes of the base, why is Vishinantam, why is that only talking about your Talmidim, the Vimantam is talking about your sons? How do you understand that the first paragraph is talking about your Talmidim, the second paragraph is talking about your own children? So the Vinesha says, very interesting. He says, we know that the Gemara tells us Vishinantam of Anafa, Vishinantam means to make it sharp. Shetei Torah mechudada b'ficha. Shet yishal fa'adam atagamkem. If a person asks you something about Torah, do not stammer, do not stutter.
but tell him immediately. That is Vishinantam Lavanafa. Now, time does not allow, but there's a very huge discussion in the Paiskim and the Mefarshim, what exactly is the chiv of a father to a son. Now, taken at face value, the Gemara Kedushin says that the father only has a mitzvah to teach him Torah Shebiksav, not Torah Shebaalpeh. Now, like I said, if you learn this as a sugya, you'll see what emerges is, according to the Roiv Rubam, the preponderance of Mefarshim, they explain that Gemara away, that it's not to be taken literally. But the Gemara does say that, and there are those who actually learn like that, la halacha. But the poskim, most poskim do not learn like that. But be that as it may, the Pnei Yeshua says as follows. If the mitzvah is to teach your son Torah Shebiksav, sugim, on Torah Shebiksav, it's a matter of taking out a chumash and reading the pasuk. It wouldn't pass to say that Torah should be sharp in your mouth, that you should stammer, and it wouldn't make sense to say that way. In fact, there's another sefer that Mismosha, this Pirshan Smag, says. We find it says, that I learn more from my Talmidim. He says, how is that? That's not Torah Shebiksav. Torah Shebiksav, you take out the Chumash. Anybody can take out a Chumash. You have translations today, and you know the Chumash. Mitalmidim Yosef Kula means through the Derech Pilpul, the Masa Matan, the give and take, the exchange that you have with the Talmud, you become sharper. Shino, sharpness in Torah, is a process that comes out of really investing your kaifas and your energy and your mind into the Gemara, to sit over a Rashba, to understand it well, to sit to understand it over a Kivayger, a Taisvis. That is Shinun of Torah. Says the Pnei Yeshua, that if the Torah says, V'shidantam l'vanecha, that level of Shinun, of Torah, sharp in your mouth, Mechudada b'ficha, that is talking about Torah Shebaal Peh, and that is only with Talmidim. But for your own son, you don't have that level of Shinun that expected, because that's Torah Shebiksav. As I mentioned, that according to the face value, the superficial understanding of the Gemara, and according to some, it actually is a maskana, that there's only a mitzvah to teach your son Torah Shebiksav, and therefore, you wouldn't have a Shinantam on that. That's not characterized as a Shinantam. That's the Maratama says Benechem. He says further to Meshua, Vishinantam Lanecha Vidibarta Bom, Vidibarta. You should speak the Torah to them. You should explain it to them. You should make it available to them. But by Vilimanatama Samas Benechem Lidaber Bom, in the parsha of Ahayim Shema, you teach your sons Lidaber Bom, that they should speak the words of Torah. As the Gemara says, when your child is old enough, he needs to be taught Torah Tzivalan and Moshe. So in Torah, the Torah that everybody teaches in Talmud, Vishinantam Lavanefa, Vidibarta, you should speak, you should elaborate the Torah. It's not that you get him to speak the Torah. You should be invested in speaking the Torah so he'll understand it. However, Vidimalatim Asimus Benechem, which is teaching your Talmidim, Lidaber Bom, that you're teaching him that he should have the ability to say the words of the Psukim of Torah Tzivalan and Moshe. Fine. So I think we now have made a case that we have these two aspects of learning Torah. There is the more simple way, if you will, with the Levadatim Asimus Benechem, and that is the Vishinantam Levanacha. Rav Huttner, I mentioned earlier, he wants to understand why is it, and again, he assumes, and he never entertained it differently, that Vishinantam Levanacha, the Parsha of Ahavta, as I mentioned earlier, is a kiyum of Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim. Right? He took that from the Rebbeinu Yonah, who says that other things in that paragraph are Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim, Tefillah the Mezuzah. Rebbeinu Yonah does not mention Torah. Rav Huttner says it must be Torah as well. So he asks, why is it that for Shinantam Levanecha, teaching your Talmidim, that's Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim? And why is it Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim, Limaratim Asimus Benechem, teaching your children? In short, why is the first paragraph that's Kabbalah Zomalcha Shemayim only speaking about teaching your Talmidim, and why is teaching your sons in the second paragraph of Ahayim Shemayim? That's his question. So I'd like to share what he says, and then maybe say something a little bit differently. Rav Huttner says that, and this is axiomatic,
He doesn't spend that much time explaining it, but it's axiomatic. He understands that Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shamayim is a reflection of a priest's bris, forging a bond, forging a covenant with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So let's just say, in the Pachad Yitzchak, priest's bris and Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shamayim are synonymous. Let's accept that. It says, let's look at the first priest's bris in the Torah. What happened? The bris ben Absorim, Avraham Avinu, makes a bris to Ribbono Shel Olam. Rashi says, whenever you make a priest's bris, you cut the animal in half, and the two parties walk in between. They become one. You become one with parts that were split. A footnote says something really amazing. He says, Yishinantel Levanecha is, should take divrei Torah mechudot beficha. The words of Torah should be sharp. The word chad in Hebrew means sharp. The word chad also means, in Aramaic, a variation of the word achad in Hebrew, chad means one. Yisrael v'raisa v'kutcha grifo chadu. Chad means one. Chad also means sharp. He says, explains it the following way. Let's say you take a piece of meat and you have an extremely sharp knife. A cutco knife. Do you know what a cutco knife is? They're very sharp. Be very careful. I know someone that their cutco, a woman told me she said her cutco knife fell off of her counter and it fell on her ankle, on her leg, and it cut her leg just in the fall itself. Very sharp. So if you have a cutco knife, be careful. But what happens when you cut a meat with that knife, the sharper the blade, the finer the incision is, and the blade just, it sinks right into the cut, so that if you would cut deeply into that meat, you would not be able to tell that you have two different pieces of meat, because the blade is so fine, it sits beautifully right into the meat. He says if you have a different type of knife, a very dull knife, so what happens when you try to cut something with a dull knife, you have to work on it, and it shreds it, and it cuts it apart to the two separate pieces. You can tell that easily. Rav Hutner says that the word chad, sharp, and the word chad, one, comes from the same source. Because when something is exceedingly sharp, so the differences are not discernible. They're all one. So he says as follows. He says, when you want to make a priest's bris, you want to become one with the Ribbono Shel Olam, you do that by being a kabbal ol of Shemayim. You're accepting on yourself the ol of Shemayim. I don't like to use the word yoke of heaven. That's the way it's translated, because a yoke has a connotation of something that's a burden. I once heard from Matisseo Solomon of the Luzun sign that the yoke of an animal shouldn't be viewed as a burden, but the yoke is there to guide the animal, not to go left or right. It guides him. It's a guide. Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shamayim is a guide that we have that's upon us. So he says that when you are learning Torah in such a way that you've achieved